Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
It is great to be with you today, wherever you are, whether you're at someone's house, or whether you're at your own house, or whether you're downstairs from this room at church. But it is great to be with you. And today, I want to talk to you on the subject of growth through scars. And so I just want to start with a scripture, if we can, in John 20, and that's 24 to 28. And 24 says, "But Thomas, one of the 12 disciples, who was called Didymus, the twin, was not with them when Jesus came." I just might hold there before I read any more, but the jokes that we've had coming from the platform of late have been fairly lame, and not mentioning any names, maybe Andy or even Graham, and even the one this morning from Nick and Aaron about Chris Converters. Well, that was fairly humorous, but not that great. So I'm no one for telling jokes, but you know, maybe in this scripture where Thomas, one of the 12 who was called Didymus, maybe that's where Didymus came from. Maybe it was that, you know, Thomas wouldn't believe, and all the other disciples, they created that and said, "Oh, Didymus." Well, I think that's a great joke, but I'll leave that to you at home. But anyway, Thomas was one of the 12 who was called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So we're talking about when Jesus had risen from the dead. And so the other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails and put my finger into the nail prints and put my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again inside the house and Thomas was with them. Jesus came through the doors had been barred and the doors that had been barred and stood among them and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but stop doubting and believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." I just want to start with a little bit of story about a scar. And about 2 or 3 months ago, I'd got up to go to work. And that particular morning, I think that one of the things that took place was that when I got out of bed, I climbed up a stupid tree. And on the way up the stupid tree, I think I grabbed every branch on the way up. And when I got to the top of the stupid tree, I fell out and hit every branch on the way down. And it was one of those days where I did something really stupid. And so I was at work and I was repairing a window. And so we had to change one of the window panes. And as I went to do it, and I shouldn't have done it on my own, because I fell out of the stupid tree that morning. And I attempted to remove this window and it actually came out and it shattered and the window fell straight down. And my thumb happened to be in the way, and the cut piece of glass sliced through the top of my thumb and nearly took my thumb off. But fortunately, my thumb has recovered, but one thing I do have is I do have a scar from that. It's a U-shaped scar on the top of my thumb as a reminder. Now, I was wounded, but it has become a scar. You know, sometimes those things happen. Sometimes we get wounded and sometimes we end up with scars. And so today as I talk about growth through scars, I'd like to begin by just giving a couple of definitions of what a scar is. And we'll come back to the story of Thomas in a moment. So the Merriam-Webster definition about a scar says, "It is a mark remaining as on the skin after injured tissue has healed." And the Cambridge definition says, "A mark left on part of the body after an injury, such as a cut, has healed." And another says, "A mark left on the skin or within body tissue where a wound, burn, or sore has not healed completely. So a little bit different, but not healed completely, and fibrous connective tissue has developed. See, there is a difference between a wound and a scar. The importance of this documented account with Thomas that we read in John, it cannot be, you know, the one with Jesus cannot be downplayed and is paramount. So with Jesus and Thomas, it was so Thomas would believe, firstly, that Thomas would believe that Jesus had been wounded, that Jesus had been in a battle, that he had been through things. And it was important of this account that Thomas believed that Jesus had been through some things. And secondly, and I think more importantly, it was important that he would believe that he was risen and was walking in victory. So it wasn't just that he'd been in the battle, that he had been wounded, but he had come through and he was walking in victory. It removed doubt and gave confidence that Jesus is who he said he was, or back then, that Jesus was who he said he was. And Thomas believed. It is so important that the wounds we receive in battle or in life are given to God for healing, so that they can become scars to show that we might have been wounded in battle or in life, but in Christ we have victory. Paul in 2 Corinthians 11 talks about how he has been in prison, he's been shipwrecked, he's been beaten, he's been stoned. The stoned where rocks are thrown, not the other sort of stone, but that sort of stoned. He says this isn't for him to boast. It's not for him to boast about all the things that have happened to him. But then in chapter 12, he continues and he talks about a thorn that he has in the flesh. And we see in 2 Corinthians 9, and he finishes this, 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 to 10. He says, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, the hardships and the persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, whether we like it or not, we have all been wounded and all have scars. They could be emotional, physical in any number of areas. And, you know, some could be, you know, broken legs, or some could be knee operations, some could be sexual scars. They could be mental. They could be relational, or they could be spiritual. Some can be self-inflicted. Like I feel when I, you know, broke that glass and it was, you know, an accident, but I should have had some better parameters around me. They could be self-inflicted, they could be by accident, or some could be inflicted by others on purpose. Some are in battle, innocent, some are stupidity, some are mistakes, and like I said, some are very deliberate. All scars start off as wounds. Some wounds take longer to heal than others. For some people, their wounds never, ever heal. Some have been let down. Some of you this morning that are watching, you've been let down. You've been rejected. You might have been ripped off. You might have lost someone dear to you. Someone has been unfaithful to you in your life. You've been neglected, you might have been abused, and the list goes on. You can almost guarantee of all the people watching this morning that one of those would be attributed to someone watching this morning. From those wounds, we can grow through the process of healing. At least that is what God wants for us. Our scars are proof of that process of growth. Isaiah 53, 5, and we haven't got it on the screen, it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing. And the punishment required for our well-being," so for our well-being, so the process of going through the wounds, "for our well-being fell on him, and by his stripes, his wounds, we are healed." So let's remember back to Thomas again. It was so Thomas would believe when he put his hands in Jesus' side and through his hands that Jesus had been wounded in battle, but that he would believe that he was and he was risen and had the victory. So this morning, here's just a handful of thoughts today for you to take away that might be helpful. If it's just one thought, if it's one of these things and you're listening and it rings true to you, I encourage you to write it down and not finish today without doing something about it. So put it into action. Do what you need to do. So the first thought I have is, when wounds don't heal or don't become scars, more wounds can be opened. So let me just say that again. It sounds a bit confusing and a bit of a tongue twister, but it says, when wounds don't heal or don't become scars, more wounds can be opened. A wound in one can cause wounds in another. And if we have a look at Genesis 37, and we haven't got it on the screen, but I'll just go through this account. And this is a story of Joseph. Now, I'm not sure if you're listening whether you've ever heard the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, but Joseph was one of a number of brothers and was a son of Jacob. And one of the things that happened in that is that Joseph was seen by his brothers because of his father, that he was a favourite. And so what Jacob did for Joseph was he bought him a special coat, a coat of many colours. You may have heard that. And so after he received that coat, it says in verse 4 of 37, it says, "But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him." So a little bit further on, a couple of verses later, he'd received this coat and then he had a dream. Joseph had a dream. And in this dream, his bundle of grain stood up and he said to his brothers, "And all your bundles gathered around down in front of my bundle of grain that stood up." And we see in verse 8, it says, "His brothers responded, 'So you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us?' And they hated him all the more." There's a wound on top of a wound, undealt with and more of a wound. "And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them." And then a little bit further down, he has another dream and it says that the sun, moon and stars all bowed before him. If you've ever heard pouring salt into an open wound, well, that was the moment when he shared his other dream, that poured salt into the open wound of his brothers. And it says in verse 11, "But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dreams meant." So you had anger and jealousy. And the Bible says that where there is jealousy, there is all sorts of strife. So then they tried to kill him. And it does outwork like this when wounds are not dealt with, when wounds don't become scars. So they got angry, they got jealous, and they tried to do away with him. We see this in church. We see, you know, we talked about that there are spiritual scars. We see that people get hurt in church. And what happens is they get hurt in church and they leave the church that they're in. And then they go to another church. And a similar things happen to what happened in the previous church. And because it's not dealt with, they move on to another church. And then it happens again. And it's like this, here we go again. We see it in friendships. People get hurt in friendships. They find another friend, a similar things happen, and then they get hurt again. And it's like pouring salt into an open wound. It hasn't become a scar. It hasn't healed. We see it in marriages. And it does, you know, carry some consequences, but we hear stories of marriages where they're second, third and fourth marriages because the same things are happening. There's open wounds that aren't healed and aren't dealt with. Yeah, we even see it in business. And people go through it and they go, here we go again. And it's like the wound is open and it's not dealt with. And so, as I said at the start of the point, when wounds don't heal or don't become scars, more wounds can be opened. Consider if that is you today. The second one is use scars to create belief and not doubt. You know, you see some people and it's kind of like, look at my scar. But my scar is bigger than your scar. I don't know whether you've ever seen a movie and, you know, it's funny, like, you know, guys tend to like to sit around and talk about war wounds or, you know, injuries that they've had in sport, and they, you know, it's always who's the best, who's got the biggest scar, who has got, you know, the most long scar or the biggest scar, or, you know, but my scar is bigger than your scar, or I'm going to use my scar or my wound to prove a point, or I'm going to behave that way and it's because of my wound or my scar. Some spend their whole life talking about the wound or the scar and almost celebrating it, but to what end? Remember with Thomas, Jesus didn't just celebrate the scar because of the scar that he had, but it was to show Thomas that he walked in victory and that he was alive. And Joseph, following attempts on his life by his brothers, he was put into slavery. He was put in prison. He had false accusations leveled against him. Joseph probably had questions on why. He was probably angry. He maybe had thoughts of revenge. And instead of using his scars to create doubt, he used it to bring belief and restoration. If we have a look in Genesis 50 and 19 to 20, and hopefully we've got that on the screens. In 19, this is following all this time that had passed, and Joseph ended up in Egypt, and I won't go into the story, but he comes back to his brothers, and he says this, "But Joseph replied to them, 'Don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children.' So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them." Joseph took an opportunity to create belief and not doubt. And even though he had scars from what had taken place, they had been dealt with, and he was able to move forward in life, and he was able to bring belief and restoration. The third point that I have this morning is that scars can sting a little later, but it doesn't mean that they are a wound. They could act as a reminder or even a warning. So I have another scar on my hand, different from the one that happened a couple of months ago. And it's a scar that that took place when I was working in the timber business a number of years ago, and I nearly cut the end of my finger off, this particular finger here. And occasionally, just occasionally, when it's really cold, and I might knock it on something and it's cold and I'm outside and I feel just a little bit of pain going from what had taken place a number of years ago. And so sometimes we need to realise that the scars are good reminders. They are reminders of things that, you know, we don't do. Now, they're not all good reminders, but they can be a warning also for the future. So scars aren't necessarily a bad thing. They are a sign of what we've been through, a sign of growth, and they can help others in the process. So if they do sting a little bit, that doesn't mean that they're necessarily an open wound. And the fourth thing we see, that an overreaction or unreasonable response are often signs of an open wound. If you've heard the term, it triggers you. Something triggers you in a conversation that you're having with someone, or something comes up in your life and you get triggered or you get emotional. Think on this. An open wound reacts. A scar responds. If that is you today, if you know that you react, if you know that you are triggered by different things and thoughts, can I encourage you that time does not necessarily heal all wounds? And it might be time to do something about that today. And I know for some, they'd be sitting and watching that and watching this today, and you would know that you have open wounds. And for some, it's 30 and 40 years. And can I encourage you to take a step today to deal with it? Because it's not fun when you get triggered. It's not fun when you react emotionally. And that is not what God's design is. He wants to bring us to a point of healing. And the last point that I have is number five, and it is an open wound needs the right ointment. Now, the right ointment may be forgiving. It might be that you need to forgive someone to help actually heal you and maybe them. It might mean that you need to say sorry. It might need some humility. The ointment may be humility. Jesus said that he gives grace to the humble. It might be finding the right person to talk to about some wounds that you have. But I just want to put a parameter around that. Some sharing brings healing, but some sharing doesn't necessarily bring healing if it's not spoken in the right confidence and for the right purpose. It's not just about sharing for the sake of sharing. And you know what? It might be hard. It might sting a little. Sometimes ointment does. Sometimes when you put something on a wound, it does sting a little. But that might be just the process to help with the healing and the growth in your life. I just found this awesome scripture in Isaiah through the week. And it's Isaiah 30, and I think it'll be on the screens again. And it's verse 18 and verse 26. And verse 18 says, "So the Lord must wait for you to come to him." Okay, so let me just repeat the start of that. "So the Lord must wait for you to come to him, so he can show you his love and compassion." It's our step. He's already stepped towards us with his son. He must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. "For the Lord is faithful, is a faithful God, and blessed are those who wait for his help." And verse 26, and I love verse 26, it says, "The moon will be as bright as the sun, and the sun will be seven times brighter, like the light of 7 days in one. So it will be when the Lord begins to heal his people and cure the wounds that he gave them." So you might think it's been dark with the wound, but what God is saying is that with his healing process, taking it from a wound to a scar, the sun will be seven times brighter than what you've gone through. But you've got to take that first step. The Lord is waiting for you today. The scars in my life do sometimes bring back memories that I don't want to dwell very much on. And I know some of those things occasionally, when I think on them, they sting a bit. But when I look at the positive outworking, like the compassion, the encouragement, the guidance, the life, the strength, the belief they bring to others and their situations, I think the healing process and the growth through scars is all worth it. As long as it is about Jesus getting the glory and not, look at me, I did it my way. One is temporary, for temporary gain, and one is for eternal gain. And you never know, with the scars that you have in your life, with a positive outworking, how it impacts others and their life. So instead of an open wound causing another open wound, let's see scars be turned into people that have take wounds to scars, that they can also be a positive outworking in the lives of others through the power of Jesus. And today I'd like to pray. And I've got a couple of things written down here today. And like I've said before, I'm not sure where you're watching from. Maybe it's the first time you've ever connected in. And this might be hitting the spot for you today. And number one, the first thing that I had down here is that you would acknowledge the wounds. That if there's been reactions that are unreasonable and that you know it, don't let it continue. That you would acknowledge the wounds and let God begin the healing process. Like it said in verse 18 of Isaiah 30, so the Lord must wait for you to come to Him so He can show you His love and compassion. The second thing I had that I wrote here, that wounds of defeat, and this is my prayer today for you, and if you know, you can just, you know, in your seat or where you're standing there, you can see the wounds of defeat, and you might think they are wounds of defeat, but God wants to make them scars of victory. And the third thing was that you would have the courage to use the scars to have a positive outworking in your different situation and in the lives of others. And I just wrote something here before I pray, is if you're watching today and you don't know Jesus, can I encourage you that I want to pray for you today, that you might know Him, that you might walk with Him, and that you might find a different way of doing things that will just transform your life. So let's pray together before the team sing with us. Father, I just thank You for Your word today. I just thank You for the growth that we all go through with our wounds that we have in our life, and that we pray that they would become scars, but they would be really positive outworking. And so, Father, I just pray that if there's anyone today who's been wounded and it's been a long time, Father, I particularly pray for those, that they may begin the process of healing and not leave it any longer and take the first step, that You would work powerfully in their life, but it would take some acknowledgement. So Father, I pray that for those who've seen wounds of defeat, that they would see scars of victory. And Lord, for those who need the courage to share about what You've done in their life to bring a positive outworking in others, I pray that, Lord, that they would have the courage to do that and You would strengthen that courage. Lord, for those who are watching who don't know You, Lord, I pray that they would know Jesus today. And if that's you, why don't you pray a prayer after me? Lord God, I just thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die for me. I thank you that you went to the cross, but you rose again. And so your scars are evidence of the victory that I can receive in my life. And so, Lord, come into my life. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And I want to walk with you forever. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So just before the team sings, if you did respond to that call to make Jesus Lord of your life, then just go onto the website of lmc.org.au. And on the website, if you follow down, you'll see, I want to know more about Jesus. If you just click on that link and follow it through, it will help us to help you on your journey. And we'd love you to document that. I hope you've enjoyed church today. Let's sing together as we close. And God bless you all today.
Good morning, everyone. So today I want to talk to you about one of these things. It's a remote control. Now, in our house, whoever holds this is a pretty powerful person. They get to choose what everybody else is watching, what everybody else is doing, thinking, all those kinds of things. So if it's me holding it, you're probably going to be watching a house hunting show or some form of live sport. If it's one of my kids watching it, you'll probably be watching a children's comedy series or a cartoon. If it's my husband, you'll probably be watching some news or a documentary on something current in the world at the moment. Whoever holds it has control. They have control of what is seen, what is done, and therefore maybe what is even thought. So today I want you to think about control in a different sense of the word. I want you to think about who is controlling your world. Being a person who doesn't see things in many shades of grey, just black and white, right and wrong, for me, the choice is simple. The control of your life is either being handled by God or by Satan. The Bible says that we have a choice between right and wrong, between blessings and cursings, between life and death. And that's in Deuteronomy 30:19. It says, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." For the last 6 months, I've had a song on my heart, and I think it relates really well to this thought. And the song's called "Fear No More" by The Afters. And in a few minutes, we're going to have some of the band come and sing that for us. But before they do, I want to quickly look at the way that we can choose to either let God or Satan be in control of our life. One of the lines of the song says, "Help me to remember that you're in control." Now, the choice of who we give control up to or who we give control over to is up to us. Just like in that verse that I read from Deuteronomy. At this time in the world in which we live, it's very easy to get caught up in fear and worry. It's very easy to watch the television, to listen to the media, and to give over control of our lives to fear, to anxiety, to worry, and ultimately to Satan. But that isn't what Jesus wants us to do. When we take communion today, we remember the death and resurrection of Jesus. Communion is a time to reflect on what Jesus did for us. It says in Revelations 1:18, "I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." When Jesus died on the cross, he defeated Satan and he took control of the keys of death and Hades. We don't have to give in to fear. We don't have to give in to worry. We don't have to give in to anxiety. We don't have to give in to Satan. We can choose to give control of our lives, our thoughts, whatever is weighing us down. We can choose to give them to God because he has the ultimate victory. The song goes on to talk about trusting God, trusting in God, in lifting our eyes, laying our cares, knowing that the storms of life are not in our control, but in the hands of God, and therefore ultimately allowing us to fear no more. As the song is sung today, read the words and allow them to minister to you. Feel free to take communion during the song. And as you do, I want to encourage you to think about who is in charge of your life. Are you allowing fear from Satan to control? Are you allowing worry from Satan to hold control? Or are you letting the promises of Jesus, who defeated Satan, to hold that control? The choice is up to you. Let's quickly pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that when you died on that cross, that you took the keys of death and Hades and that you are now in control. Lord Jesus, help us to hand that over to you today. Help us to remember that it's you who loves us and who wants to look after us in all aspects of our life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So let's listen to that song this morning. And as you do listen to it, feel free to take communion when you're led.